Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 15. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give you will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, these are turbulent times. Uncertainty and anxiety threaten the stability of our lives. I'm encountering it at the grocery store, devoid of staples. I'm feeling it as I talk to friends with chronic health conditions. I'm seeing it on every television channel from ESPN to the Nature Channel. Folks are scared. Just a few weeks ago, even a few days ago, life was fairly predictable, fairly routine, but no longer. You know it's bad when the Masters is postponed. And here we are in virtual church. I don't even know how to do virtual church. I have trouble texting. Well, that's too bad, isn't it? Because this is where we are right now. Welcome to the land of uncertainty. Now, the natural response to such disorder is to strive to impose a new order. You know, you hunker down. You draw the circle a little bit smaller. You lock the door. You draw the curtains. You begin hoarding, pass the value. Now that may be appealing to many of us, but you know what? There's one problem. There's one problem with such an approach. That's not who we are. No. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. There's a passage in Paul's letter to the church in Rome that reads, and you heard it a moment ago, Ashley shared it with us, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" In other words, what is it that can undermine our life? What will utterly jeopardize our well-being? If somehow the love of Christ holds us together, what could possibly threaten to disembody, disincarnate, disintegrate us? How about hardship? Distress? Persecution, hunger, violence. How about sickness? How about the coronavirus? Would that do it? Well, Paul had a pretty simple answer to his own question. No way. And then he continues, "For I am convinced that nothing in all creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, it can be extremely difficult to process words like "nothing will separate us from the love of God," especially when we're scared. When every single news report gets more dire, when the NCAA basketball tournament is canceled, when there's no hand sanitizer to be found anywhere, when church goes virtual, these are the sorts of things that just may be able to separate us from such abundant life. And that's what can make these ancient words ring a bit hollow. Well, I want to suggest to you, to us this morning, as we stake out our germ-free space and sequester our lives, that these words of the Apostle Paul have never found their meaning and power apart from context. No, they only find their meaning and their power within the narrative of our life together. What will separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Why? Why is that? Because life is relational. And we are the body. What will separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Because we are the hands, the feet, the arms, the embrace of God and the love in the lives of each other. That's what we do. That is a living expression of our faith. Now, I've talked a lot about Father Richard Rohr's writings across the years, and I've talked about them because I find them to be a source of great wisdom and insight. And a while back, I was rereading his book entitled Everything Belongs. And I came across a passage that seemed most appropriate for these isolating times in which we find ourselves now. Rohr writes, "The spiritual world is hidden and perfectly revealed in the physical world. And that's why Jesus is so important. He makes visible the hiding place of God." I love that. What a marvelous statement and a marvelous image. Jesus makes visible the hiding place of God. And of course, if you follow out the logic and you embrace the idea that we, the church, are the body of Christ, and that we are called to make Jesus' presence tangible in this world, then maybe Rohr's words are descriptive of our task today. We, you and I, make visible the hiding place of God. I always have said there are two ways that you can tell if someone has never read the book of Job. The first sure giveaway is that if you've never read the book, is if you pronounce the title of the book Job, okay? Yeah, obviously, okay? The second way you can tell if someone has never read the book of Job is that they make this statement, that when they make a statement about the patience of Job, you can tell they've never read past chapter 2 of the book. Not only is Job not a patient person, he's downright impatient. He's angry with God and the world, and he doesn't hide it very well. And I quote, "Know that God has put me in the wrong and closed his net around me. Even when I cry out, 'Violence!' I'm not answered. I call aloud, but there is no justice. He has walled up my ways that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness upon my path. He has stripped my glory from me and taken the crown from my head. He breaks me down on every side, and I am gone. He has uprooted my hope like a tree. He has kindled his wrath against me and counts me as his adversary." Yikes! Job's angry. He sees his suffering as unjust. His life's a mess, and he just wants to give up. In fact, the writer gathers up Job's hopelessness with these words. "Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth." Okay, back to Paul. What will separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. How can Paul say such a thing? Okay, back to Rohr. The spiritual world is hidden and perfectly revealed in the physical world. That's why Jesus is so important. He makes visible the hiding place of God. Jesus makes visible the hiding place of God. We are the body of Christ. Therefore, we make visible the hiding place of God. Now, I stand here before you this morning to say that over the course of the past 27 years, the Minnick family has felt the presence of God in our lives at times when we need that presence most. We found it through you. We felt the presence because you were there with us when we needed that presence. You made visible the hiding place of God. Through you, the body of Christ, God has been made real in this world. And that never ceases to amaze me. Hear these words from Job. "Now when Job's three friends heard of all these troubles that had come upon him, each of them set out from his home. They met together to go and console and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. They raised their voices and wept aloud. They tore their robes and threw dust in the air upon their heads. They sat with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great." Job's friends came to be with him. When they arrived, they were horrified at what they saw. Job was at the breaking point. There was nothing that his friends could do to make everything okay. But what they could do was be present with him in his suffering. They sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. This is it. This is where the presence of God is made tangible, is made real in the world through the presence of others. Through us, the body of Christ, we make visible the hiding place of God. I'll never forget it. It was December 1998. You know, that's nearly, 22 years ago, when Scott Hansen shared me a beautiful image that has stuck with me ever since. In fact, it's been a guiding metaphor for my understanding of ministry ever since. One day Scott said to me, "Jay, do you remember the part of Job where the three friends came to him to offer their support?" I said, "Yes, I remember it, Scott." "Do you remember when they first arrived, they didn't say anything, they just sat there on the ground with him without saying a word?" "Yes, I remember." Scott then said, "You know, that's what we do. That's what followers of Jesus do. That's what the church does. We sit in the dirt with others." Now, I haven't been able to get that image out of my mind. I know you're tired of hearing it. You can blame Scott for that. But that's it. And I was reminded of this fact once again this past week as our city began to shut down and start the process of social distancing. We can't fix everything. We can't stop bad things from happening. But what we can do is witness to the omnipresent love of Christ through the offering of our presence to one another in genuine and creative ways. Friends, this is sitting in the dirt time. In the coming days and weeks, we need to check on each other. We need to call each other. We need to Facebook each other, whatever that means. We need to email each other. We need to Snapchat each other, if that's even a thing. We need to text each other. We need to find ways to be in community, even without sharing the same space. We need to be the body of Christ in these unnerving times. So, friends, let the church know if you or someone you know needs something. And we will do our best to be present in that need. These are unnerving times. There's no doubt about that. But they don't have to be destructive times. We're the body of Christ, and nothing, not even an aggressive little virus named after a beer, is going to be able to separate us from the love of God embodied in a community called Pleasant Grove. Friends, keep the faith. Live your faith. Thanks be to God.